Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. I hope you guys are okay. Today we're going to be doing a follow-up from last episode, which was the sort of Nebworth announcement and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, and so we're going to have a bit of a reaction to that. So I'm going to be talking to Richard, our good mate Richard Bowes, about the Nebworth stuff and about the other bits and pieces going on at the moment. I'm going to be talking to Steve, who has his own very interesting Nebworth story, which should be very cool. And also, I did an interview today with Kyle Dale, who does the Oasis Collectors Group on Facebook. And we're going to be dropping that in here because we had a really good chat along a load of different subjects. So yeah, all good. Lots of bits and pieces. I could have put these out all separately as probably like our individual episodes, but you know, we've got a lot of stuff going on, so you're just going to have a bumper episode with loads of stuff here, so it should be good fun. Before we get into all of that sort of stuff on the news front, we can't ignore the fact that the massive news is Liam Gallagher was back. He played the show for the NHS, which I go on to talk about with Richard, so I won't bang on about that anymore, other than having seen, you know, quite a few of the clips now and stuff, and having heard from quite a few people that did get there. Really great show. It sounds like Liam was on really good form. And yeah, so you hear me talk about that a bit more with Richard. The other thing that's happened today, as I'm recording this on Friday night, is that The Real People released a little video, which was very interesting because James Hargreaves, our good friend who does Oasis related stuff and other stuff as well, but loads of Oasis stuff over on YouTube. James did a video I think a couple of weeks ago sort of talking about the whole Noel Gallagher Real People thing, and he used sort of quite a big chunk of my podcast episode that I did with him to sort of you know, to as the source material for that, effectively, which was really good. It is a really good piece he put together. Obviously, the source material was pretty brilliant, so what would you expect? But yeah, and then I don't know whether that, because that's done quite a lot of views over on YouTube and got people talking about the whole Real People situation again. And apparently Matt Morgan mentioned it on one of his podcasts. So, you know, it's obviously causing a bit of a fuss, bit of buzz. Yeah, and then from nowhere yesterday there was an announcement that the Real People would be putting up this video called The Lost Oasis Tapes, and today it went up. It looks to me like it was done a few years ago. I think it said in the video 4 years ago, so whether it was posted privately and then just made public, I'm not sure. It was very interesting. It's good to hear them sort of talk about that stuff. Not too dissimilar to what I was talking to them about, but obviously they got the tapes there, so they're physically fading the music in and out, which is very cool to hear. I really like that. Let's drop in a little bit of it. This was probably the most interesting bit here, which was the Columbia with Chris Griffith's vocal in it, because as we know, it's a very good chance that Chris actually wrote the verse of Columbia. And so therefore, you know, he sang it through the first time. So that was very interesting to hear.
So, okay, what we're going to do now is play the original tape that we found of Columbia. On one and two, we've got the drums.
Okay.
Which these were probably recorders with about three mics in the room and bounced down to two tracks.
Okay.
Three and four, we've got the guitars, which is Noel and Bonehead playing at the same time, it's all live. These have either been bounced down to two tracks, or there's just been two mics set up in the room and it's recorded live.
Okay. So
five, we have a bass.
There we go.
And then seven is my vocal, because Liam hadn't sang it yet. So these are like the...
The
guide vocal that I've been singing.
There we were, and here we are. All this confusion.
On eight, we have Liam and Noel doing the choruses.
Feel because the way I feel.
Me, Tony, Liam and Noel doing ad libs at the end.
Yeah. Okay, and that's it. And now here's with everything in. Okay.
Now we are, this is confusion, am I confusing you? There we are, now we are, this is peculiar, am I confusing you?
So yes, you can check that out if you go to the Real People's Twitter or Facebook page, it's actually on Vimeo. I imagine because on YouTube it would probably get taken down. If you head to the Real People's Twitter or Facebook, you'll be able to get hold of that. All right, let's jump over now to my conversation with Richard.
Recording in progress.
Do you hear the woman there? Recording in progress.
Progress, yeah.
Okay, it always throws me every time. Anyway, welcome back to the Oasis podcast. Richard Bowes, how are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. James, how are we?
I'm all right, I'm good. It's been a little while since we caught up, so it's always good to speak.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, life is starting to open up again and things are a little bit cleaner and gigs are back. Is there light at the end of the tunnel? Well, there's certainly light. How long the tunnel lasts, I don't know. But yes, it's nice to be able to actually get our teeth into things again.
Yeah, absolutely. And Liam is back. Liam played the O2 last night, which neither of us are NHS workers, so we didn't get to go. But by the sounds of it, he was absolutely on form.
Yeah, as I said, I had a friend of mine managed to get the tickets. I don't exactly know how, because he doesn't work for the NHS, but I think it was people who worked for the NHS and partners, so I think he was a plus one effectively. He said it was great. He said what was the message he sent to me? If Carlsberg did encores, I think it was pretty strong, wasn't it? It was like Go Let It Out and Acquiesce and Cigarettes and Alcohol and Live Forever and A Sneaky Little Wonderwall. But he said he actually said Liam's voice was the best he'd ever heard it in all the years we're going to see him. He did also add with the caveat that he hasn't been to a gig in 2 years. That might have had something to do with it. But the clips I've seen online, Liam sounds absolutely spot on. The band looked pretty good. Apparently, my friend says this, although that can't entirely be verified because he's a bit unreliable, that Bonehead did the whole set, which is unusual, obviously, for him. He just has the Oasis numbers. I don't know how true that is. But my friend also said Primal Scream were great. It was, a really good night. And I'm actually going to see Liam in a couple of weeks at Reading Festival. So hopefully he'll be as good.
Yeah, very exciting. I think that it's often the case, isn't it, when he comes back that, you know, obviously it's the rigors of touring that tend to like mess up his voice. So having had that time off, I think it's probably done wonders for him. But, you know, but then even then we were saying that some of those live shows he did really well, like the River gig, he did really well. So, you know, I think he is on a good vein of form. And long hair Liam is back. He was looking very much like 2000 Liam to me.
To me too, but I love that look. I think that look, not too long, you know, not like he had it in kind of like 2008. We had but as Dig Out Your Soul came out, it was a proper bowl, which I didn't think really suited him. But the kind of feathered, slightly longer hair, I think it's cool. He looks the part. Seen some of the pictures as well. Yeah, as you say, it does look like just exactly like 21 years ago, just with a bit more of a middle-aged spread.
It almost looks like a Liam tribute. You know what I mean? Because it's like, oh yeah, he's doing the Liam Gallagher look now. whereas when he had the shorter hair, it was like, oh, that's Liam Gallagher now, like a 50-year-old man or whatever he is. But no, actually now it's like, oh yeah, that's this Liam from Oasis doing the Liam from Oasis things. It is funny.
It's quite interesting as well. Looking at the set lists, I think I said in one of the interviews we've done before, but you know, I can't see Liam ever opening with a song anything other than Rock and Roll Star that he'd open with. Obviously he's now, you know, open with Hello Last Night, can be blow that away. It's almost like the last 2 years haven't happened. Like the set list doesn't seem that different. I know he's had no new music out, but whatever. But you kind of look at it going, yeah, it seems a bit of a tired set list now, even though he hasn't done that many gigs. A bit of a weird one. Obviously, like I say, didn't see the shows. I can't comment. But it's nice to see like Fade Away in there. But you kind of look at the order. It goes Hello, Morning Glory, Columbia, Wall of Glass. Was it Halo and Shockwave? It's all.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it just feels as it. There's no reason why it wouldn't, but it all feels very, very 2019.
Yeah, it is pretty much there. I think Go Let It Out's the only song he hadn't played before, isn't it?
I wasn't sure about Fade Away. I'm not sure if he'd done that or not.
Hmm.
I don't think he has.
We will check that, and I'll probably drop in me saying, yes, he did, or no, he didn't.
Yeah, leave that in your capable hands.
Hello, it's James in the future here, and I checked it, and he did play it once before, which was Down by the River Thames.
And this one's called Fade Away, and it's been emo.
Fair enough. Good. All right. Well, I hope you have a great time at Reading. I hope that all obviously it still feels so like, you know, you don't want to kind of count your chickens, do you? It's like, but yeah, it should be happening. Like, you know, the rules have been, the restrictions are gone. Like, there's no reason why not. It should happen. So, but it just doesn't feel like you can get excited about these things. You know what I mean? We've been let down so much.
Yeah. I won't believe I went to see Steve Pilgrim, part of Paul Weller's band, a couple of weeks ago, but that was a seated gig, even though restrictions have been lifted. But Monday, I'm going to see Idols at the Louisiana in Bristol, which is a tiny, proper, sweaty venue. I think it'll all seem quite real then. But yeah, I can't picture it until I'm there. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
It still kind of feels on edge.
And can you see yourself like going in the throng and being squished in front of a load of other sweaty people that might not have been vaccinated?
I don't know. I think at Reading, I'll probably be quite cautious because for two reasons, really. One, I'm going to the End of the Road Festival the weekend afterwards. My concern is that with Reading, it'll be plague carrying adolescents. Or no, what it might be is that because that's such a young demographic, it'll probably be they still might fall in that gap between first and second vaccination.
Yeah.
So therefore, you know, effectively they're not fully vaccinated. So I am a little bit concerned about that, but I'll probably be half cut by the time Liam comes on, so we'll see.
You'll be like snogging everyone around you and stuff. And
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Licking the barrier.
Exactly, yeah, licking faces and crowd surfing, who knows? Time will tell. We'll see how that goes.
Fair enough. All right, cool. Well, look, and then the other thing I was going to just mention to you with the whole Nebworth memories sort of thing, the 25 years, how are you feeling? I take it you've spent a stupid amount of money on the recently released stuff.
I have, yes. I was kind of toying with the idea of just buying the vinyl, and then I was like, well, I've got the full box sets of Chasing the Sun series. So I was like, well, I might as well get this one as well. But it's not the uber deluxe box set. So I don't think it's got the stick of rock in it. I decided I could probably live without that. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's funny that Six Music have recent, you know, Six Music do their kind of artist collection series where they kind of spotlight and do sort of anthology things for artists. They've done like, you know, Bob Dylan, New Order, loads of different people. Well, they did it Oasis last week and they played a good hefty chunk of the Nebworth set, probably about 12, 15 songs.
Wow.
And it was probably still on BBC Sounds, if that doesn't sound too much like advertising. But I was listening to it last week and I was like, because I had the recording, because I didn't go to Nebworth, because I had the recording when it was on Radio 1, I was like, I still know this inside out. You know, I still know the things that Liam says. I even know like the timings of the breaks, in the breaks in speaking and what they were saying. So, it'll be interesting to see, but I'm really looking forward to obviously hearing It's Getting Better Man and My Big Mouth of a good quality audio, because like the bootleg of Nebworth I've got is just that little bit poorer, because obviously they weren't allowed to play those songs on the radio, but I think it's just more like crowd audios. So I'm really looking forward to that, but yeah, I'm mainly looking forward to the documentary, I have to say.
New songs, My Big Mouth.
It's fucking rocks, this one.
It gets us all into trouble.
not me. You don't get me into trouble. I get you all into trouble.
Yeah, well, interestingly, I think that on the documentary, like the track listing, there's no mention of My Big Mouth or It's Getting Better Man.
Oh, really?
So I wonder if, but then there is a mention of, like there is a chapter listing called Who the Fuck Are Man United? And that's when they played those songs, was around then. Mm-hmm. So we're wondering if Noel's Be Here Now Hate will extend to not including those in the live, which would be... gutting.
Yeah, I mean, they're on the vinyl. Well, they're on the audio release. I'm just having a look at it now. They are included there, but yeah, I don't know. I hope it's not been chopped from the DVD or the film. But then I suppose we don't know how the film will work. Like, there's the films surely can't show every minute of every single song. Mm. You know, that would just be, you know, it's not a film, is it? It's just a thing of the gig. So I'm quite interested to see how they'll kind of weave in and out with it. Like, you know, maybe a bit like the There and Then release, you know, two or three tracks and some, you know, some audio commentary or a bit more about, as I say, filming people of the day. I wonder how much the actual gig will get in the film.
Yeah, no, I'm very interested to see that. And then, yeah, like all of the memories that people submitted, whether that's just going to be audio over the top or, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing the filming that they did in the day and that sort of thing. That should be good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what was the other thing I was going to say? Oh yeah, I think I remember reading that the Blu-ray, so the deluxe box set doesn't have the Blu-ray, it has DVD. And so if you want if you want the Blu-ray, you'd have to buy that separately, which is a bit cheeky.
Oh yeah. Yes, that's a bit of, that's a bit of a swizz, isn't it? There's still different variants of it. I'm, yeah, I don't have a Blu-ray player, but yeah, I've noticed that. Yeah, there's certainly well, there's a, as is to be expected with a package like this. They are, I mean, we, you know, we were concerned a few months ago that it was just going to be a film, whatever it was. But you know, they're going all at it, and obviously, financially speaking, they're going to be fleecing, bringing every last drop they can out of it. But yeah. that is a bit cheeky, especially considering you've got the CD, you get the CD, cassette, and vinyl.
Yeah. Cassette. Oh, great! Thanks. What's what about the film? Where are you? Have you got your tickets booked? Whereabouts are you going to see it?
I have. Yeah, I'm going to see it in Bristol. I can't make the Friday night showings for reasons that I can't remember. So yeah, I'm going to see it on the Thursday night. I think there's only a couple of showings, but yeah, just gonna wander down there and get my seat early. I don't know if they're doing anything more around it, but if there is, I'll obviously do that. Interesting that, again, it's slightly more expensive than a normal showing because it's on for in Bristol anyway. I don't know about anywhere else, but it's only on for two nights, so it's a little bit more expensive than a normal cinema ticket.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the requirements are of that. But yeah, I'll be there in the front row.
I think like when they have stuff from a theatre, or when they have stuff like when they did the Beatles. One a couple of years ago, what was it like, the live one, 8 days a week, was it called?
Yes the one,
yeah, album. and I remember going to see that, and then they had this whole like thing before it, which was like live from the premiere into red carpet interviews, and they had like the never released Shea Stadium footage after it as well, so it was like a full like 3-hour job. So I don't think there's any plan to do anything else like that around it, but it'd be good if they did. But yeah, you know, but like we said, the problem with the premiere, and I'll be interested because obviously we hear Noel's voiceover, but in the trailer, but I don't know if Liam's done any sort of voiceover or other recording for it. We know he's watched it and approved it, obviously, but yeah, it would be interesting to see if there is any kind of interaction or discussion around it. Yes. Liam's been pretty quiet on it, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, I hadn't even thought that. I just presumed it was the same as Supersonic, but I suppose, you know, Liam is legendarily doesn't remember anything about the second night. but yeah, that's a good point. I just assume it's be the whole band, but yeah, maybe it's just Noel.
Could be. We shall see. Cool. All right. Well, look, so it's exciting times. Exciting times for generally for the world opening up, and especially for us Oasis fans. There's stuff happening finally. It's brilliant.
Yeah, hoorah.
Richard, all the best, mate. Well, look forward to Reading. Give us a shout, let me know how that goes.
Yeah, I'll probably do you an audio review.
Yeah, it'd be good. And then we're back into the swing of stuff, and then hopefully new material from the guys, and yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah, life can resume as we were.
As we were. Cool. All right, mate, all the best, good to speak.
And you take care.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
All right, thank you very much to Richard. That was great, and look forward to hearing how Reading Festival goes. Now, we've got a cool one here. This is Steve, who is a very interesting part of Oasis history, as you will hear as we talk about. So, I won't talk about any more. Here is me talking to Steve.
So, a quarter of a million devotees flocked to see Oasis at Nebworth over the weekend, and by all accounts, it was an impressive event. It's estimated that the two concerts grossed £5.5 million, Radio stations in 34 countries broadcast them live, and 150,000 T-shirts were sold to adoring followers. So what's behind the success of Britain's most popular rock and roll band since the Beatles? Nicholas Glass joined the fans at Nebworth for this special report on the wonder of rock and roll stars, Oasis.
All right, welcome to the Oasis podcast. Steve, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not bad. Thanks. Yourself?
Very good, thank you. So, very excited to speak to you because people might not know your name, but if you're a big Oasis fan, you would definitely, you're a big part of the Oasis history in your own little way.
I mean, that's an awfully bold claim. I don't think that's true, but I'll take it.
Yeah, no worries. Well, look, it was a funny one because there's these people like, you know, that you see on Oasis videos and interviews and things over the years. You think, oh, I wonder who they are. I wonder what happened to them. Like, there's a lot of people like on the front row of the Live by the Sea. And you think, who's that guy with the curtains? I wonder what ever happened to him. Or, you know, there's various people over the years. And definitely on this Nebworth, you know, sort of news footage, there's this cool looking guy. He's got a sort of a Damon Albarn meets Paul Draper from Manson kind of look going on. And, you know, he's wearing the little Lennon shades. You think, who's this dude, you know, looking as Britpop as you could possibly get? And that was you.
I mean, I guess, yeah. Well, it was a Channel 4 interview. So as I recall it, and I'm happy to be corrected because it was 25 years ago. As I recall it, it was a Channel 4 interview and it went out pretty much just after the news on the Monday. So the Channel 4 news would have run 7 till 7:30. And then I think they ran this five to 10 minute Nebworth special afterwards. And we just happened to be somewhere about 2/3 of the way back. And I was wearing, if anyone's seen it or has seen the photo that's doing the round, the screenshot from it, I'm wearing a very, very yellow shirt.
Yeah.
I think they just went, oh, he's loud. We'll talk to him.
But let's take it back a bit. So were you a big Oasis fan at the time?
It's a weird one. I was quite a late convert. Not particularly late, because obviously I was at Nebworth, so I wasn't that far behind the curve. But I was a convert by, I think, I want to say the summer of 95 was when I was converted by, I guess, by the sort of, some might say, whatever combination.
Sure.
And then a friend, pre-Morning Glory, a friend lent me a copy of Definitely Maybe, because up to that point, I'd been a weird... anyone who's trying to buy records off me on eBay at the moment will know my music taste in the early to mid-90s was very sort of psychotic. It was either like early 90s horrible dance records or just a load of random pop with the odd breakthrough hit from like a Blur or an Oasis or whoever. And then I think it was Whatever. So when Whatever came out, that was me. I went, oh, this is really good. I like this. And then some might say sort of locked me in, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the summer, I spent the entire then that summer, a year after everybody else, listening to Definitely Maybe on a loop, on a tape, during my first job after I left school, because I left school in the summer of 95. And so I basically just had headphones on for 6 weeks straight, and I listened to it on a loop. And then obviously Morning Glory came out, I want to say maybe October.
Yeah.
Later that year. And then it became a double-sided tape. And they were just, that was me. And I was in, and that was that. So, yeah.
Fantastic. And so what about when Nebworth came around? I mean, can you remember sort of, you know, with it being announced and getting hold of tickets for it?
Do you know what? I really can, yeah. And it's weird for me because ours isn't the tradition. I guess I went with two friends. We were doing our A-levels. We'd spent pretty much the entirety of the first year of our A-levels sitting around the college canteen reading the NME, talking about all the bands, not just Oasis, but all of the bands that were around at that time. And when it was announced, we sort of, the three of us said, right, we'll go. That was that, we'll go. tickets got released. I want to say, I feel like it was in May. I may, again, I'm happy to be corrected, but I feel like it was in May sometime because we were still at college. And we just didn't get tickets. You know, like many other people, we spent 3 hours each on the phone that morning trying to get through. No joy whatsoever. We got to lunchtime and we sort of went, look, it's everyone's saying it's sold out. It's all over the news. It's sold out. They've sold the 120,000 tickets or whatever. Should we call it? So we gave up. And then randomly at about 5 o'clock, I was like, I wonder if that, no, there's no way there's any tickets left. But the fervor had died down. So there wasn't 100,000 people trying to phone at once. I phoned up and they said, yeah, how many do you want? And it was like, I'm sorry, what now? I don't know. Crap, I didn't really expect to get through. Dad, can I borrow your credit card? I wasn't expected to get through at all. So I had to sort of run into the other room, grab my dad's credit card off him. We bought 4 tickets. I forget who we gave the 4th one to, but somebody wanted one that wasn't travelling with us. And that was that. After half a day of real disappointment and real sort of, I guess we're not going to see Nebworth then. Fine. For it to then at 5:05, me have bought 4 tickets and be the happiest little teenager in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm from a little town near York called Selby.
Okay.
It's not a well-known famous place. It's most famous currently because The Rock and Vin Diesel filmed some of the Fast and the Furious film here at one of the power stations nearby before they blew it up. So there's a scene in one of the last Fast and Furious ones where they're driving around a power station. That was about 5 miles from my mum's house.
Wow.
But I live in York now. So we travelled down. It's a fair drive, you know, to get there for lunchtime. For us, but we were only not even close to being the people who travelled the furthest. I know people travelled from all over Britain, and I imagine some of Europe as well. But
yeah, I don't absolutely. Know. So you guys drove down on the day?
Yeah, we somehow persuaded my friend's mum and dad to drive us down for the day, because I mean, I think people forget that it was sort of how widely spread the internet was about to become. We sort of vaguely had access to, you know, 3 or 4 websites, and that was about it. So we couldn't just go, oh, well, we'll book trains, we'll book a hotel, da, 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 da. It was, how are we getting there? I don't know. How are we getting there? And we sort of bounced around all of our parents until one of them said, yeah, all right, fine, we'll drive you down. So we left, we left Selby at about, I think it must have been something like 6 in the morning to get a head start. And we drove to Stevenage, and we stopped at Stevenage for breakfast, and we went to McDonald's for breakfast. And then we were like, right, okay, now what? We're sort of nearby. We're sort of here. Right, fine. And they drove us down there, and they were the night, they still are. My mum, I haven't seen them in years, but my mum sees them around town, and they're the nicest people in the world. And we had such just a nice drive down, listening to music, chatting away. Obviously we had Oasis on in the car, because why would you not? I think we'd all made tapes of the support bands as well. So we had, because we knew we had a sort of a reasonable drive, we figured we'd loop through each of them at least once. So I feel like we'd done Everything Must Go. We'd done bits of Prodigy. We'd done bits of Ocean Colour Scene and those. And we sort of slid them in. There was the odd Chemical Brothers track. I suspect it was just Set in Sun. But again, 25 years ago, my memories are not that great, but I do vaguely remember us all going, I made a tape. Yeah, so did I. And all of us handing the tapes over to our friend's mum, Maureen, who just randomly picked the tape and put it on. And they dropped us off, and then they hung around until the end of it and came and picked us up.
Wow.
I don't know what they did or where they went, but that's, I feel like they dropped us off around sort of 12 o'clock when the gates opened, and then came back to get us at 11, half 11, something like that.
Yeah. But then it was just then, it's a funny one. I can't I had to be corrected by my mate because, like I've said in the podcast before, the main memory I have is charging around the coach park because we got the coach down from Oxford.
Oh, okay.
And desperately looking for this Oxford coach. But I think, but then he said to me, no, 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 you've missed out a bit. We walked to the train station. So I think we had sort of thought, we went to the coach park, saw that all these coaches were already leaving. And we were like, there is no way. It's the needle in the haystack. There's hundreds of coaches. There's no way we're just going to randomly find the Oxford one. So we said, right, let's go down to the train station. We get down to the train station. Obviously, it's swamped with thousands of people. And you're like, oh, we're not going to get a train back. So just try the coach park again. And got back to the coach park. And one of my mates is already on the, had managed to find the coach, or we'd lost him. And he was on the coach, and we're literally charging around. And I had a cramp, and I was like hobbling around. Oh, God. Oh, and no. He's like jumping onto coaches. We found one to Reading, and we're like, can you take us? Can we come back to Reading? That's close enough. And he's like, no, you've got to get in your Oxford coach. And then we finally got the, we finally found it as it was leaving the coach park, and got some dirty looks from, you know, from everyone on the coach who'd been hanging around and waiting for us for, hours. But...
Well, I know that people tell the stories of being stuck in the car park until 4 a.m. and things like that. I feel like we must have then got really lucky, because my memory is we walked out of the gate, saw their car, got in it and drove off. So I don't know whether we just hit the right exit or the right, or we left sort of the second it was over and we legged it, jumped in the car and drove off before the chaos hit. But I've got zero memory of any kind of traffic. I feel like my memory is we sort of slowly drove out of the place, but it certainly didn't take us hours and hours and hours, because we then drove all the way back up north. And I don't, and again, 25 years ago, my memory is not what it was. I've got this vague recollection that I got home while it was still dark, which means in August, it will have been getting light at 5-ish, which makes me think we didn't hang around that much.
No, it wouldn't be too bad. No, fair enough. And what about, so well, tell me about, like, when you clocked this camera crew or whatever, were you just guys, you know?
Well, we'd sort of made the decision to not push forward. So because it's such a weird friendship group, there were three of us, myself, my mate Nick, and our friend Louise. And Nick's big, tall lad. In fact, I saw him the other day, I drove past him. He was about sort of 5'10", 5'11". I'm only about 5'7", 5'8". And Louise was a tiny sort of 5'2", quite a timid girl. And so we'd sort of gone, well, we've promised her mum we'll look after her in that way that teenage boys do. And we'd sort of gone, well, actually, if we all pile to the front, there's no way we all stay together. There's no way we get comfortable because we're going to be here all day. So we sort of made the decision to go about 2/3 of the way back. Now, you'll have seen the picture. You know, the big overhead picture, that's the famous one that was, I think one of the magazines released it as a poster the week after, maybe Vox or Select, one of those guys. If you look on it at the sort of the arc where the sound towers are, we sort of decided to go about there, about 2/3 of the way back, slightly to the left. There was a little slope. So we said, well, if we sat on the slope, even if someone jumps in front of us, we can stand up and be able to see. And it was very, very practical, very sensible. And we just sort of sat there, and because we'd all brought, you know, we all had a little bag with a blanket and a rucksack or whatever else. And we sort of sat there all day, and we bumped into people that we knew, other people who'd driven down from Yorkshire. I saw my auntie, of all people. My auntie and her friends were wandering past, and I sort of looked up and went, oh, that's my auntie. And it was, and we saw a group of people that we worked with, and, you know, various, that it was in a crowd of 125,000, they say it was, to see three or four people that we knew just randomly, that we hadn't arranged to meet them or anything. They just wandered past, was weird, but brilliant. And then it got to about, it must've been between, I don't know who it was between now, but it was still sunny. It was mid afternoon, maybe sort of 4-ish, something like that. And we were just sitting there, and we saw these people with the cameras, and we sort of looked and went, oh, look, they're filming some stuff. We sort of expected that. And then they came, walked, marched straight over to us and went, hi, you three look interesting. Can we talk to you? And we sort of looked at each other, and the other two went, no. And I was like, I mean, you can talk to me if you want. I don't think they're interested. And they were like, okay, fine. And then obviously, I feel like they talked to me for ages. And obviously they edited me down to be on the on the show, but it feels like they talked to me for about 10 minutes. Again, that could be an utterly fake memory that I have, but I feel like that was about the case. And then until those guys found me on Twitter, I hadn't seen it since day it was broadcast.
You didn't record it off the telly?
No, I totally forgot all about it. So the girl we'd gone with, Louise, her mum recorded it for her. So I'd seen it on video at college that week, and that was it. So I saw it once, and that was it. And I hadn't seen it in years and years. All I knew was I had this vague memory that I'd been on screen speaking for longer than either of the Gallagher brothers. And I don't know whether that's true. Like I said, I've still only seen it a couple of times, but I feel like as I watched it, I was like, there's quite a lot of me in this. I talk for quite a long time. And then you work out how long the show is and what percentage of it is. And it's actually quite a high percentage of that 5 or 10 minutes is me. And obviously, I was a cocky young 17-year-old and a bit full of myself and a bit full of my own importance and a bit full of Oasis importance, to be fair, as well.
Exactly.
So anyone who's seen the clip of me, well, knows exactly what I said. And I was just, I was so cocky and so like, it's brilliant. But then they asked me, they asked me a specific question about, and it was something really vague and really sort of vacuous, like, so why are you here? And my 17-year-old brain went, well, why do you think I'm here? I didn't come to see the bootleg Beatles, did I? I didn't spend £20 for a ticket and drive for 4 hours and stand there in a field with 120,000 people to see the bootleg Beatles. And then they clipped all that bit off. And then it starts with me saying, well, because of Oasis, man, or something. it was weird. And then they wrapped it up, moved on to talk to somebody else. We didn't really think anything of it, but I was kind of giddy because I was like, I've been interviewed. That's the first time I've ever been interviewed for anything.
The police called it Operation Gold, and as it happens, Oasis fans turned out to be as good as. There were just 10 arrests over the weekend. The fans seemed to come from everywhere, from the band's hometown, Manchester, from Sheffield and York, from Newcastle and Norwich, from Littlehampton and Luton.
I know there's a lot of copycat bands now, but when they first arrived, they were just so different from anything. I mean, we had all the dance music and stuff, and they just play their instruments and write good songs. Attitude a lot.
Fully expecting, given that there were 250,000 people over 2 days, that there was no chance they'd use any of me.
Right.
So I didn't think anything of it. And then at college the next month, because obviously we're even pre-mobiles, 96, 95, 96 time, I got to college the next morning and somebody was like, you were on the telly. I saw you on the telly last night. I'm sorry, what? What do you mean I was on the telly last night? Utterly forgetting that I'd recorded this thing. You were on the telly. I wasn't on the telly, I promise you. On that Oasis thing. Oh. Was that really? Yeah. Did you not see it? No, utterly forgot it was a thing. Didn't even realise it was a thing, because I think, like I said, I think it was Channel 4 News, and I wasn't in the habit of watching Channel 4 News when I was 17, a great deal.
No.
And then she said, oh, my mum recorded it. I'll bring it for you tomorrow. So we managed to find a room in the college that had a little VCR. I sat and watched it. And it was just like, hey, I was on the telly. And even then I knew, I was like, I do come off a bit cocky. And now 25 years on, I look back and go, I really, really was cocky. But hey ho.
But it's cool though, mate. I think, like, because, you know, you have got the look. Like I said, you're a mixture between Damon Albarn and Paul Draper, I think. I mean,
I told my wife that this morning and she went, no. No, you were adorable, but no. But I mean, I'll take it. There are worse things to be called than those two.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I mean, then that was, you know, I suppose it, because it's a time capsule. But what is cool is that you do have the look. You know, a lot of people just did have short hair or whatever, but you've got the look. You've got the sunglasses. You've got it going on. It is cool that they did make a beeline for you. It's good. But what about from there? Did your sort of Oasis fandom continue on throughout the years?
Yeah, I mean, I still am. You know, when people say, you know, now I'm 42, I am. And people say to me, who's your favourite band? Oasis are always in the top five.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't say this is my favourite band, but Oasis were my band, along with Ash. Ash and Oasis were my two that I latched onto. And then obviously a big swathe of those bands from then and now still the music I listen to on a regular basis, because that's how music works, you know.
Yeah.
We've all, well, the entire reason your podcast exists is that we're all still clinging to whatever we were when we were 17. Trust me, I know. I've been there. But yeah, my got some. That was it. My bands were always Oasis, Ash, Supernaturals. I really loved Supernaturals for some reason, and Seahorses, and they were my. I guess Seahorses was the Yorkshire connection, yeah. But that was they were my bands, and so now I think every album I've bought on opening day, and the only things I've kept from I moved house recently and I'm having a clear out and I'm being ruthless, utterly ruthless, and getting rid of a lot of my vinyl. The only things I've actively chosen to keep really are my Ash records and my Oasis records. And they're sitting in a box. They haven't been played in years. Because I've got a CD or I've got a digital file, but the vinyl copies are sitting there. And I know that they're worth money. And I know that a cynical me would cash in on them. But also the other part of me is very cynical and says, well, it's 25 years this year, but in 5 years, it'll be 30 years.
Yeah.
Let's hang on to them. So they've survived the cult. But yeah, I mean, I had bootlegs sort of up the wazoo. I found a couple the other day, random bootleg CDs that I bought of a guy on the market. I had the Wibbling Rivalry interview on vinyl, pretty much everything. I've made, honestly, this sounds like such a smug thing, but I sold a load of my T-shirts a few weeks ago, and I've made quite a substantial amount of money from my Nebworth T-shirts and my Main Road T-shirt.
Wow.
I've had people pay me over £250 for a T-shirt.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Honestly. The T-shirt, it was a Main Road one as well. I didn't even go to Main Road. I went to Main Road to see lots of football because my auntie was a season ticket holder. But I never went to Main Road to see Oasis. But I bought the T-shirt at HMV like 3 weeks later or whatever.
Yeah.
All the leftovers were shipped to HMVs. And I paid £10 for this T-shirt. And all it was, across the chest, was a green football pitch with the Oasis logo across the middle of it and a tiny little one on the back that just said Main Road. £10 I paid for it. Somebody bought it off me last week for £284.
Jesus Christ. So if anyone's listening and you've got those old Main Road or Nebworth T-shirts in the cupboard, what, eBay?
If they're in decent condition, absolutely, whacking them on eBay. But yeah, I think at Nebworth itself, I bought almost all of the original T-shirts. So I'd saved up and I was like, right, I've got this money to buy T-shirts with. And I just kept in between bands wandering up to the merch stands and going, I haven't got that one. Yeah, I'll have that one. And so I think I bought all of them that were fun. So I had the blue one with the silver logo. Still got that one. That one stayed in a box. The Lambretta style ones that I think have just been re-released.
Yeah,
they're part of
they
the
have. Yeah,
pre-order
yeah.
stuff. I'm quite glad I sold mine 2 weeks ago before that happened. But again, I honestly, from Nebworth T-shirts, I made nearly £800 from 4 T-shirts
Bloody
in the last
hell.
Couple of weeks on eBay. And it was just like, I mean, I'll stick on eBay. If I get £50, brilliant. Oh, all right. Okay. I shall take my wife away for the weekend on the profits then, yeah? That's fine.
That's nuts.
But yeah, no, I've stayed in Oasis fan. I've never really graduated into the High Flying Birds or BDI or any of those. I've had a listen. They're nice enough, but they've not connected with me.
Sure.
And I don't know whether that's a solo Gallagher thing or I need the pair of them together for the connection.
For the magic.
But, and I'm sure I'm not alone, but they've never... If it came on, I wouldn't turn it off. They're fine. I don't dislike any of them, but I've not gone out of my way to say, right, today I'm going to listen to High Flying Birds or I'm going to go to a gig or I'm going to go see Liam solo or I'm going to go to BDI or any of that. I just sort of went, yeah, they're good. It's not Oasis though, is it? So that's fine.
Yeah, no, I get you. I absolutely understand that. Cool. All right. Well, look, Steve, thanks so much, mate. I think, I did see you still, if people are listening to this on time, I see you are still like got some good deals going on and some very cool vinyl and things. So what would people say, what's your Twitter? Is it?
It's at Fixated On.
Fixated On. Yeah. Yeah. So if people want to check out that. Yeah, and obviously your, the screenshot is now your
of course it is, your
your picture, which is
it,
great.
That lovely little shot of me in the bright yellow shirt is now my Facebook picture as well, because I'll be honest, I look quite good in it. 25 years ago, I'm not quite so fat, I'm not quite so old, but yeah.
into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Cool. All right, mate. Well, look, it's been really good to talk today. We always end this with, like, is there a particular Oasis song that means the most to you? And then we'll play that out as we leave.
Do you know what? It's a combination. It's one of two things. It's either the live versions of whatever that turn into Octopus's Garden, which are obviously numerous and out there, or I think it's Lila, because I moved to Glasgow. I lived in Glasgow for a little while, and I went to see Oasis at Hampden while I was up there. And it was around that time that Lila came out, and it was just everywhere. And every time I hear it, it makes me just... I've got this memory of walking through the middle of Glasgow with it in my headphones, and that big riff and me just going, yeah. So I think that's it for me. It's an odd one, because I know it's not a lot of people's favourites. Even from that album, it's not a lot of people's favourites. But for me, it always just evokes that memory of a sunny day walking down the middle of Glasgow. And I had a great time. I really liked it. So, yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, I'll tell you what, it's enough of a favourite for a lot of people to have named their either pets or even children after it. There's a lot of Lilas around because of that song.
I bet there is. Yeah, I never thought of that. But yeah, I suppose there is, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Cool. All right, Steve. Well, thanks so much for your time, mate. And all the best. And we'll, yeah, good. It's and if people want to give you a follow and check out some of the good stuff you got vlogging.
I was going to say, I think the clip we've mostly discussed, it's on YouTube somewhere, isn't it? It's out there. And it was a Channel 4 news special. Yeah, go see me being cocky.
Brilliant. All right, mate. All the best. Really good to speak.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Cheers. So thank you very much to Steve, who is at Fixated On. And if you go and follow him, you'll see he's got quite a few cool records and stuff for sale at the moment on eBay. So go and check him out. £800 for some T-shirts. God, I wish I had kept my old Oasis T-shirts now. Bloody hell. Anyway, right. So now we're going to have my conversation I had today with Kyle Dale. As we discussed in the episode, I think that the Oasis Collectors Group are doing a great, great work. Kyle works so hard on that, putting that all together. It's an amazing community of people. And hopefully you enjoy this conversation. So here's me with Kyle. Welcome to the Oasis podcast. Kyle Dale, how are you doing, mate?
I'm not too bad, mate. Not too bad. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's good to speak. We've been sort of meaning to do this for a long time, haven't we?
17 years about, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah. Well, I think I met you up at the Glasgow show with Tony, right?
Yeah. Well, when was that? But the poster's actually in my room there, signed by Tony. Kyle, you are a knobhead. Look after your kids, from Tony. So that was at Stereo, wasn't it? Yeah. It didn't say the year on it, but was it November a couple of years back, was it maybe?
Yeah, November 19, I think it was. It was the last one we did before the big shutdown, which was a pain. Well, you've stayed busy in the Oasis world, because you are the main man behind the absolutely brilliant Oasis Collectors Group. Do you want to just tell us about how you got involved in that and what that does?
Yeah, I think it's a hard one, really, because I've been a fan for many years, but I've been buying and selling things for, well, at least 10, 15 years now. I think you find you end up with a contact list of people that you trust, people that you enjoy chatting to, people that you know have got good stuff that's not fake. Eventually, you end up with a list that as long as your arm. I think I got a bit sick during lockdown of people messaging and saying, is this person okay? Is this person okay? Could I buy off them? Is this real? Do you know what we need? Just a little group. a basic group where all these, it was about 200 people, 200 people in one group that could just trust each other then and have a chat and discuss things. Now, there is another Oasis collective group that's been around for a while, so there's nothing new. It's just a case of, you know, it was a personal thing, really. And it kind of grew from there. It was, you know, a lot of people chatting. It was supposed to be just a bit of a hub. Then people started showing off items that they've got. And then before you knew it, we had the likes of, you know, Owen Morris and Brian Cannon doing interviews. And then we had group exclusive items from Nyquid Dot and Tony McCarroll and Gareth Halliday. And it's just boomed. It's been brilliant. It went from a little project for a month to now it's actually quite a nice little community that's quite well thought of.
Yeah, it is. It's a really great community. I mean, I've mentioned it on the podcast a few times.
Yeah, thank you for that.
And also, yeah, no worries. And what also people often contact me and say, you know, oh, I'm thinking about, you know, I've seen this thing on eBay or, you know, or someone's contacted me about this piece of material. What do you think?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I haven't got a clue. I'm not a collector. You know, I think when you join the group, you have to put, you know, what is your collection, because you want to sort of, you know, only accept people that are actual proper collectors. And I put, well, I collect interviews, memories, you know, that's what I collect. But I'm not a collector at all, so I haven't got a clue. But I will always say, look, go over to the Oasis Collectors Group Facebook, because those boys will sort you out. You know, there's some sharks out there, and I've heard some awful tales of people that have bought stuff off eBay and been ripped off and paid over the odds, or, you know, obviously fake things. Whereas actually, quickly jump on with you guys, and you've got the probably the best minds in the world, including Garcia. He's in there, isn't he?
There's four or five names in there that I've been buying for since the early 90s, and they know every signature inside out. And it's a hard one with the fake stuff, because I've all bought and unfortunately sold this stuff, because you buy it and sell it and you don't realise till a long time afterwards. You know, I bought a signed Songbird promo off an amazing contact a while back, but we both didn't realise it was fake until years after I bought it. So it's a real, there's a lot of sharks out there, and I think you get a bit of negativity with it, because I think if people put eBay items on the group and say, is this real, you'll get an honest opinion then. And if that person who's selling it is not happy with that, then I'm the bad man. that's the way it tends to work. But I think it's a really useful tool. I'm actually putting together just now, I did a thread a few months back, actually, I've been a bit slack with this, where I got people to put a picture of in-person items that they've personally got signed, so there's absolutely no doubt about them being real. And I'm going to do a bit of a timeline, because that's the one thing with Oasis. They're the most fake signed band out there, I think, because some of the signatures now are so similar. You know, Noel's new signature, for example, it's not easy to fake, but it is effectively a long line, isn't it? So it's good. It'll be good to have a timeline of all these signatures over the years for all the individual band members, that people can refer back to that and try and avoid the minefield a bit.
Yeah, and I suppose it's tricky, isn't it? Because you see Noel when he's kind of outside a venue or something like that, and he's got 400 things being shoved in his face, and he's just going to scribble, 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 scribble. So it's, you know, it's never going to be 100% exactly, you know, the same, is it?
No, that's it. But this key things, it's always quite funny. I mean, to go into a bit more detail with it, I mean, I'm in no way an expert, but I listen to the experts, like you say, Garcia and Eric over in the States, they're great. And I feel like I'm okay with it now. You know, I did see a post come up yesterday that 2 years ago I thought was absolutely beautiful. And now I'm looking at it now, I'm thinking, oh, that is fake. And how did I not realise that 2 years ago? That's myself. And it was actually David who, when I started the group, it was just me, because it didn't need any people help out with it, really. But as the world's got back to normality, like yourself, I've got a career, you know, so I can't be doing this all day. You know, it's something I nip into in the evenings. But David Walker, who's a massive Oasis fan, I asked him to kind of come on board and help out, so he's been really helpful. So he's good to bounce ideas off and help set up some of the group items and interviews, and I think that does help, having all these names on board to double check things with.
Yeah, and you haven't asked me to say this, but I've seen that it's a lovely community of people that have actually done some really good stuff for, like, people in need and things like that as well, which you don't need to do. And so, I mean, what was the thinking behind that?
again, it was the list of people that I got on with at the start. You know, if you know 500 people that are Oasis fans and collectors, it sounds so sad saying that, doesn't it? If you know 500 people that are collectors, maybe 200 of them are all right. The rest of them are good guys, but you just don't get on with them, or you don't quite agree with the way they do things, or you just think, oh, these are my good eggs. So yeah, I think as a community, we do give. I've often given things away for free. You know, if you end up getting, you know, Liam just done that NHS gig there this week, and about four lads picked me up a print because I couldn't get there because I'm not on the NHS. Four lads picked me up a print, so it's great that I've got four prints on the way. But then I'll just chuck them back out cost price to people, and you know, we help each other out. It kind of goes a long way. We've done a few charity things, and there's something coming up just now. One of the lads on the group has collected a few items to kind of raffle off for charity. It just keeps it going around, I guess.
You know, you're getting to this point where obviously you guys are, you know, this isn't just a Facebook forum. This is actually becoming a big deal. And the people in the Oasis world, the likes of, you know, McCarroll and Halliday and Cannon and things like that are actually, okay, well, I need to be involved with these guys. But then also the fact that you've got this, you know, a friendship with Owen Morris.
Yeah, well, Owen is a complete random happening. Again, in my day job, I just happened to bump into him in that sense, and we just got on quite well. But it was short-lived, actually, because he moved to Costa Rica soon afterwards. But we do still text here and there. He should be back soon, actually. He should be back over for a visit. I'm actually meeting his missus next week after. She's over to Edinburgh for a visit. So, yeah, I mean, Owen's Owen. Everybody knows him. You can probably hear him laughing here from Costa Rica. He's a great character. I think with Owen and Brian and Gareth and Sharon Latham recently, we went down to the launch of the of Noel's Guitar and Sharon's exhibition, which was unbelievable. You know, to get the chance to go to that was when we thought, actually, this is going quite well now. We're getting on some lists here that there's no chance average Joe would get on. So we've been blessed with that sort of stuff, really.
Awesome. And you're starting to look at meetups and things like that now as well.
Yeah, so I've done a few of the interviews, which have been great, but they were all over Zoom. In fact, I interviewed Paolo Hewitt two nights ago, so that'll be on the YouTube channel and the group next week at some stage when my brother does all my editing for me, and he'll sort that out and get up. But the meetup was one of these things where you just think, well, just go for a pint, and then it just turns into bleeding the O2 Arena. You know what I mean? It's going to be a big event now. So it's actually going to be at the Definitely Maybe Bar in Bolton. But it's, I don't know if you've been there before, but if you're an Oasis fan, you need to visit that place. You walk in and it's just like a museum. It's brilliant. So we're doing a meetup there, and we thought, well, we'll just expand it a bit, and we'll have a Q&A with Mike Ridott in the daytime. So I'll be asking Brian a few questions on the stage and doing a bit of an exhibition. But for that, it is simply for the lads on the group, really, to get to know each other, because you just see a name and a face. And that's the one thing I do like about the group, that if you've got a group that's got, you know, a couple of thousand people in it, it's hard to have a conversation because you don't know who each other are. Whereas it's rare that somebody comments on this little this place and people don't already know who they are, what they're into. Because, and by what you're into, I mean, you do get vinyl collectors, you get badge collectors, you get print collectors, posters, CDs, promos, everything. So you just kind of know that person likes that. So if you've got a question, you can put it on. You can tag someone like Simon William, who's just got this amazing CD website. You can tag him and he'll tell you anything about any CD worldwide. And that's crazy. You know, for me, it's all about the vinyl for me, vinyl and promo items. But to have someone like Simon on board, or then you've got Mark, who's the poster and print fella. It's quite an unusual little munch bunch.
Mm. So let me just get this straight. So you're doing interviews with people from the Oasis world, and you're doing meetups with live Q&As from people. Hold on a minute, mate. You're trying to take my job.
No. This is it. This is it, isn't it?
Yeah, this is outrageous.
I think that's it. I think, well, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
no, you want
fair enough.
No, it's all good. And I
you're gonna come on the 9th. Are you gonna make the trip up? Are you gonna come up to Bolton?
Hopefully, I'm gonna have a look. I don't know if I'd be allowed because, as I say, I don't have a collection, but if I'm allowed in, I might have to. I'll bring my signed Tony McCarroll drum skin that I got from the night I interviewed him. But, you know, how about that?
There you go, then. That's it, isn't it? Well, Tony's been brilliant for the group because it's like, you know, an ex-band member. He's done us a couple of times, done us exclusive kind of signed drum skins and drumsticks. And for you can get these on eBay, but you'll go and pay bloody a fortune for them. It'll just be signed. To get it personalised to you or your kids with your choice of it, brilliant. You know, that really stepped up the game for us, really. And, the Microdot prints, we've done something with, we did a joint one with Microdot and Alan McGee a few months back, limited it to 50 prints. It sold out in 40 seconds. So that's the hook, really, I think. You know, we've got a few things in the pipeline just now. You know, Jill's Nebworth book's due out next week. And you can go and buy that everywhere, of course you can, but that's the one thing about getting David on board. It's good to have two people mithering people to help us out, and David sorted out an Ebworth exclusive book where, you know, if you bought it through our group, it was signed by Jill and it came with a signed print of an unseen image of Liam, which, you know, that was a special one, really. You know, so you can go and buy it from Rough Trade or Amazon or wherever, and Jill might see, you know, 40% of the cost for that. But if you buy it through us, she sees 100%, but we get a signed copy with an exclusive print. And it's when you see them things on your wall and you think, no one else has got that. No one else in the group has got it, or outside of the group has got this item. And it's you just think, well, this is going nicely. This is going well. Gareth's going to be great as well. Gareth Halliday did us a beautiful print of his kind of best of all of his works, part one, and part two is about to drop in the next couple of weeks. So they're only limited to 20, and about, you know, they always do us a good price on these things. It's always a good deal.
That's quality, mate. And might not include this, but you should speak. Have you been in touch with Simon Halfen at all?
I did get in touch with him right at the start, but I think at the start of the group, I probably just sounded like every other fan wanting something for free. Now I've actually got a bit of a group CV being put together just to kind of send along, so they know that it's, keep this in if you want, there's no issue with keeping this in. I think it's if you've got a bit of a group CV to say, look, we're not just an average fan group posting memes and busking videos, we're actually a buyers group, really, and you can make some good sales pretty quickly because it's all high-end buyers, really. So I think now we've got, you know what, close to 10 items that have come in and sold very, very quickly, and we've got a few interviews under our belt and a potential event. I think now is the time to say, let's put this down on paper, to say, look, this is what we've done in the past, this is what the results were. The interviews are great as well because they're not published, you know, they're not going into a magazine, they're not going into a paper, it's an informal chat. You know, the one with Paolo this week, I was drinking water because I had a headache, but usually I'll have a beer with him and just have a chat, and you know, it's quite relaxed. So that they've been quite popular because with the questions being submitted by the group members, it's not leading anywhere. It's genuine, detailed fan questions, and they've always come off enjoying the chat. You know, it's been quite good.
Yeah, no, exactly. As long as it doesn't go out as a podcast, we're good.
Never. That's it. There's no point doing it. You've got the best name, haven't you? So that's it now. There's no point.
Yeah, well, I nicked that. I nicked that for Oasis. No, all good, mate. All good. What a life would be. Talk Oasis with me. You can download the free Oasis podcast. Cover all of the news and do some interviews and get all the listeners' views. Oasis podcast.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So obviously, in the, you know, being this group of buyers, you end up, you know, getting hold of some sort of exclusive items. And one of the really interesting things that popped up was on your YouTube channel, this sort of Wonderwall, like never before seen footage. That was really cool.
I'm looking at it right now. It's on my desk. So yeah, that was. I don't know if you do the same as me, but when things pop up on eBay, you don't bid straight away, because that's the most game, really. You wait till the last 5 seconds, don't you, and chuck in your maximum bid. But that came up, and it was a Squeak Pictures VHS from America, and it said first rough cut of the Oasis Wonderwall video. So I could tell it was real anyway, because of the style of the label and the story behind it. It was from a fella who worked with the Beautiful South, and Oasis borrowed their tour bus for a day in 95, and they left this tape on the bus. I've just been sat for 25 years, you know, just sat doing nothing really. And you think to yourself, well, okay, the story matches, I need that. Because I thought, even if I have to pay 200 quid for it and spend another, you know, 30 quid converting it, God knows what's on it. You know, I've got to see that. And it did say first rough cut. And I'd read an article a while back about there being some sort of first early cut of Wonderwall where they were arguing, and you know, a lot of it was caught on tape. I thought that'd be amazing to find. So anyway, it gets to like 12:05 when it's ending at 12:10 on that day. And it's a work day. So I'm working away in my home office. But I've set the alarm for, you know, 12:09. At 12:08, in comes my little son, Charlie. He's like, oh, Daddy, can we do this? And I missed it. I was absolutely, you know, if it'd not have been my son, I'd have thrown him out the window after that. But we had I had a message with a seller. I said, look, I've got... I'm gutted. I missed out on this. I really wanted this item. If the buyer doesn't pay, please let me know. I'll give you 20 quid extra. You know, I was trying to entice him. And 4 days later, he gets in touch and says, yeah, he's not paid. You want it? I thought, wow, brilliant. So it's coming down. It's just one of these things. I got it converted. But when I dropped it off at the studio, it just looked the same. You look the same as the released version. So I thought, oh, it's nothing really. You know, I don't know what Henry Effects is. It's probably nothing. But when I got it back, it was 14 minutes long, and it's got the whole video again. Check it on you. You've seen it on the YouTube channel anyway, but have a look at it. It's just got some unedited footage, but it's I like that sort of stuff. Once you've got all the records or all the promo items, you kind of think, well, what else can I look at now? And when these one-off items come up, you know, master CDs or master tapes or pre-finished products, you know, sound checks, these sort of things come up, and that's what I look for now. I really like that sort of stuff.
It's great. I mean, that's what interests me, is the, you know, as we said, I'm not a collector. I'm not too bothered about the physical items. But for me, it's about the unseen footage, you know, whether it's studio, unheard studio chatter, unheard songs, unheard, like that is what drives me. And that's what I find a bit frustrating about Oasis over the years, is we know there's great stuff out there in the background. We know that the way Noel Demo records demos, the GEM demos that turned up a while back, you know, that we know there's loads of stuff. There's loads of recordings that must be out there, but where are they? We've just never heard them. So it is just a case of as and when these things sort of turn up in people's back bedrooms and garages, isn't it?
Well, exactly that. And it's also about the legalities of it all. You know, if I had something special, I'd be quite scared to put it out on the internet, worried that you're going to get in trouble. I have got one little thing here, actually, that I'm looking to try and give back to Noel. I'm trying to give it back to him as we speak, funnily enough, just so he can decide what to do with it. Because, you know, as soon as it leaks that you've got something special, you get all the little pests on forums saying, oh, you know, you've got to release this. Well, I don't know if I'll get in trouble if I release it. You know what I mean? It's not something like that, a Wonderwall first cut. That's a bit okay, really, because that's just an early cut of something released. If it's something unreleased, I don't know if you'd be in trouble for doing that. So I think the best thing to do is put your hand up and say, I found this, do you want it back? So that's let's just say, what's this space for that one? I'm hoping that'll turn into something pretty interesting soon, but I'm just waiting to hear back on that. But you are right. I think I've got a DAT tape of the G-Mex sound check, which is just 3 hours of trucks moving around and all sorts, but you just to hear them kind of tuning guitars and talking is pretty special stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It is exciting. And as I say, I remember saying the same thing to Garcia. It's because we know he's got some amazing unheard stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, there's people on forums sort of like, you know, oh, you're hogging these things. They need to be released to the fans. It's like, well, why would I release this when it's value? It's a really tough one because I understand it from the, you know, from the person's point of view. Like Garcia is like, well, look, number one, yeah, I don't know if I'll get in trouble for this. And number two, I've paid a lot of money for this thing. Yeah. And if as soon as I release it, yes, there's still going to be a value on the tape itself, but the physical copy, but really the value is the audio, isn't it? The stuff that's on that tape. That's the true value.
And if you want exactly. And he won't make any money on it. Some little bugger over in Timbuktu will make a bootleg of it and make a fortune. And then potentially you get in trouble for it. And it's the same sort of route, really. Everybody wants to hear it, and that's absolutely fine, but it's just got to be done the right way. You don't want to get anyone in trouble. I mean, everything I've got that's in that bracket, I didn't pay a penny for. It was a total lucky find. However, I just don't know what the rules are. So I'm unfortunately not going to risk it until I'm told what I can and can't do. So I think I've done the right thing. I've got in touch with the right person, said, do you want it back? Please take it. Here it is. It's not going in the post, obviously. Imagine posting something like that down Royal Mail, buggering it up. But I don't know. We'll see. I do kind of agree with what you say there, though, because it ends up being a bootleg. If you just put it on the internet, it ends up being a bootleg, and that's not, it deserves better. In fact, that leads quite nicely onto bootlegs. When you look at bootlegs, everybody loves them. They've been around for a long time. However, it's always better when it's an official, isn't it? So what do you think about the new Nebworth? How good's that?
I know, I'm excited about it. I take it you've sort of put your order in on day one for for the full deluxe package.
I do myself over me with these things, mate, because it comes out and I get all excited and I'm running upstairs to get away from the family and I order something. And then the Oasis website doesn't put everything at once. So we ordered the box set and we ordered the Blu-ray. And I looked on again, there's all this other stuff coming up. I was like, oh, God, I've got a second order, third order. I've paid postage 3 times. But it's, it is good because, you know, you do get, everybody wants to hear the gigs that they were at or the iconic gigs, Main Roads and Nebworths, and they're great. But someone's making money on them that's not the band. So it's good. I hope they are clicking onto it and thinking, do you know what? Let's go through the key gigs. Because imagine having like G-Mex or Finsbury on vinyl. It'd be brilliant. It'd be absolutely amazing.
Mm. You know,
there's ones from early 90s, you know, Unplugged, stuff like that. They've been around for a long time. Or the demo tape. You know, they're never going to get an official release now, I don't think. But it is. There's a collector's market out there, and people will pay for these things. So the Nebworth thing is brilliant.
I know. I just think it's, I mean, I've been banging on about it for years. It's just money left on the table. I mean, I suppose it might be that back in the day they had this issue with Alan White and with Gwigs.
Gwigs, yeah. There's been something, hasn't there? There's been something bubbling that's obviously been ticked off. So that might open the door now to finally getting these things popping out. The black box set, the Chasing the Sun box sets were amazing. You know, the BA Now one, especially when the Mystique demo was inside. So to have that sort of setup for each gig, that'd be a library of, I'd have to get a new vinyl shelf. It'd be amazing.
Yeah. No, all good, mate. All good. Well, look, I'll let you crack on, but if people want to request admission,
I think we just did that at the start, just to kind of filter out. I think it's just a case of if you're just interested, come and have a look. So I think the interviews are doing quite well, and you never know who anybody knows. You know, we've got a few good names in there now, and they can say, you want to speak to so-and-so. It's everything links onto everything else. So if you want to find us on Facebook, it's the Oasis Collectors Group. There is a YouTube channel. There is a meetup in 2 months, just less than 2 months, with an exhibition. There'll be tickets to the public for that as well, with Microdot, the Q&A with Microdot. I'm not too sure how many tickets are left for that, though, to be honest with you, but we'll see. But that'll be the first of a few. We need to do something together, I think. We need to do something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Early next year, maybe.
Watch this space.
Jolted.
Cool. Well, Carl, thank you so much, mate. It's been brilliant to speak. And hopefully see you soon.
Nice one, mate. Take care. Cheers. Say something. Shout it from the rooftop.
Thank you very much to Kyle for that. Much appreciated. If you're a Facebook person, head on over to the Oasis Collectors group over there and check it out. Great, great bunch of guys over there. And yes, watch this space. It would be great to do some sort of meetup as well, whether I can get up to that one in Bolton or whether we'd look to do something else as well. Yeah, should be very exciting. Right, that'll do it for today's pretty epic episode with three brilliant interviews from interesting people. Thank you very much for listening to the Oasis podcast, and most of all, thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it's greatly appreciated. You can become a patron at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where we put up episodes early and put out extra stuff occasionally, so do make sure you head over there. Do please follow on social media. Twitter's the main one, at Oasis Podcast, but yeah, I'm on Facebook occasionally, at Oasis Podcast, and Instagram, Oasis Pod. You can always email me, oasispod@gmail.com. I love to hear from you, especially audio messages that we can drop into the show. For instance, if you were at the Liam gig and you want to drop me a review of it, I'd be more than happy to hear from you. And I always appreciate reviews on iTunes as well, so do feel free to go over to the Apple Podcasts and write a review, preferably a nice one. Right, that'll do it for today. We're going to be back next time with a little bit of politics with George Eaton from the New Statesman. And yeah, as ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
I just follow you in.
Brilliant front man.
The music's so simple, it's just really easy to listen to and stuff.
It's the culture as much as anything, isn't it? Really?
What do you regard as being the culture?
Lager, cigarettes,
alcohol.
Best singer, best songwriter, best band.
How old are you?
14.
How old are you?
14.
All of us?
14.
14.
All of you are 14?
Yeah.
Is this all your first concert?
Yeah.
And you chose Oasis?
Yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.